so far this morning. If you're third grade and down and you're heading to Kids Rock, you got Pastor Robbie this morning and Miss Katie. You can head to this door, down and around, or through, whichever way suits you. It's a joy to see them, isn't it? Yeah? If you're staying in here, turn with me in your Bible and your copy of God's Word, whether it's hard copy or on your phone or whatever you got. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Fellas, men, tonight, 5:30 in the fellowship hall. We're going to eat. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to fellowship. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. It's just going to be a bunch of men, okay? So plan on being with us. Not that we don't love you, ladies. But you guys need time away from us, right? Amen, ladies? Okay, so we're just going to give you some time away from us tonight. There you go. All right? So, men, 5:30 in the fellowship hall, will be done by 7, okay? Plan on being there. Invite somebody to come with you. And if you got little fellas, my little fellas, come on with me, okay? So, all ages, be with us tonight. One other thing, you've already heard a little bit about the Annie Armstrong offering. In case you don't know what that is, we have two mission boards that we support. Our international mission board that sends out international missionaries all over the world. They're a North American mission board that places missionaries in different parts of North America, large cities, rural towns, up in Canada, down in Mexico, Puerto Rico, Atlanta. Wherever churches are needed to be planted, they send missionaries there to do that very thing. And so, in addition to our regular tithes and offerings that go to our Eastside ministries, we are taking up between now and Easter Sunday our offering that you'll hear us refer to as the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Every penny of that goes to support our North American missionaries. So, you'll see us kind of give you tad bits of information about them. American Mission Board's work over the next few weeks during our Sunday services. If you have other questions about that, I'd be happy to answer what I can. Also, our folks that are on our missions committee, Tammy that prayed this morning, Ms. Helen, Feliciano, others that serve on the missions committee could also answer questions about the North American Mission Board. Got it? All right. Acts chapter 13. Man, I'm glad you're here with us. As we said a couple weeks ago, it's not by accident that you're here this morning. This morning, we are looking at a continued story of the church. Just get us all up to speed. The church started in Jerusalem because of persecution. It spread out to other cities, one of those cities being Antioch. And the church in Antioch has sent out two missionaries, two believers, Barnabas, Saul, and John Mark, to go to other towns where people haven't heard about Jesus yet and tell them about Jesus. We saw they went to the island of Cyprus last week in the beginning of chapter 13 down to verse 12. And this morning we'll see that they leave the island of Cyprus and go north and they go to some other cities. And so what we're looking at this morning to kind of tie it in to where we are today as Eastside in 2021 is we're going to be thinking through the lens of what we should know as people who are trying to make Jesus known, and what we should expect as people who are trying to make Jesus known. So before we even dive into the Word this morning, let me just get your attention real quick. Let me ask you this question. Do you know Jesus? I don't mean do you know about Him, like you know He lived a long time ago, you know how He died, you know that some people believe that He rose from the dead. I don't mean know about Him. I mean, do you know Him? Have you surrendered your life to Him? If that's the case, you have believed in His life, death, and resurrection, you've surrendered your life to Him, then one description as a Christian is to make Him known. Tell others about Him, right? And if you're here this morning and you know about Him, but you don't know Him, then at the end of our service today, we're going to sing. And we just want you to know that, like, you can you can right then and there or before that point in our service, bow your heart to Jesus and surrender your life to him and be saved by him. And then start making him known, okay? So just know that's coming. If you're a Christian here today, know that you fall into this group of people that should be committed to making him known, all right? So you guys ready to dive into the word? All right, let's dive in. A little bit different today. We're going to see kind of five statements we're going to make. The first statement is something we need to know as people who are trying to make Jesus known, who are committed to making Jesus known in this world. And then four expectations we should have as people who are committed to making Jesus known. And we're big chunk of scripture today, Acts 13, verses 13 through 52. We're going to kind of start and stop through this passage, okay? So you guys ready to start in this passage? Acts 13, verse... I'm in the wrong book of the Bible. John won't do this morning. There we go. I was like, that's not where verse 13 was this morning. All right. You guys in Acts, not John? Okay. Me too now. All right. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. And I remember they've been preaching the word, making Jesus known on the island of Cyprus. And this is where they pick up, where we pick up after they've done that. Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. Verse 13. Now Paul and his companions, that's Barnabas and John Mark, set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch and Pisidia. All right, pause. It's our first stop this morning. Actually, we're going to come back. We're going to come back here. Let's keep reading for now. All right, let's look at what Paul and Barnabas did in Antioch of Pisidia. Verse 14, halfway through, it says, "And on the Sabbath day they went down to the synagogue and sat down. After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, 'Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it.' So Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen.'" Now let's pause. Paul then preaches a sermon. And he's preaching to a room mostly of Jews, people who believed and adhered to the Old Testament with their lives, but had not yet either heard about Jesus or realized that Jesus was God's Son and the Messiah that God sent to save them from their sins. So Paul's about to stand up and tell them this good news. What I want us to see this morning is the way in which he does that. So pick up with me in verse 17. "The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted hand, he led them out of it." Pause. If you know the Old Testament, Paul just started with Genesis, went through Exodus. Okay? I'm not going to go into details there, but you can look at the reference notes if you have a reference Bible and go back and read those passages about what Paul just said. He chose his people. They were in Egypt. He led them out with an uplifted hand, a strong hand, out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt. That's two books of the Bible right there, the first two books of the Bible. Verse 18. "And for about 40 years, he put up with them, his people, in the wilderness." That's Leviticus and Numbers. It's two more books of the Bible. Those of you that have been with us on Wednesday night, you see that, don't you? Yeah. Verse 19, "And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance." That's the book of Joshua. All this took about 450 years. "And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel, the prophet." That's the book of Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Verse 21, "Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul." the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king. And of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. And of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised before his coming. John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. So, Paul's just fast-forwarded from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, all the way into the Gospels. And now he's talking about John the Baptist, the prophet who came right before Jesus. Now he's talking about Jesus. So here's what I want you to see really quick. If we're going to be committed to making Jesus known, one of the most simple things we can do is know the Word. Just know the Word. And when I say that, I don't mean know Greek, know Hebrew. I don't mean you have to go to seminary. I mean just read the Word. Read it. If you haven't read it through yet in your life, Christian, make a commitment to do that. Take as long as it takes you to do it. Read through it. Just read the Word and read it again and read it again and read it again. If you're not in a Bible study or in Sunday school, jump in with one of those groups that's studying the Word and get to know the Word. Because the better you know the Word, the better you'll know Jesus. And the better you'll know you know Jesus, the better you'll be able to make Him known. When Paul preached his sermon, he preached from the whole Bible. Isn't that amazing? And this was why, because this book, sometimes we think about it, you young Christians in here, like just give me your attention for a moment. Sometimes we think about this book as like segmented stories that relate somehow, some way, but sometimes we're not sure. Sometimes they teach us about us. Sometimes they teach us about God. Our favorite ones teach us about Jesus. But that's not the case. Every single verse contained in this Bible points us to Jesus. Either it's pointing forward to Jesus from the Old Testament, or it's pointing backward to Jesus in the New Testament. Every single verse. And if we know His Word, we'll know Him and we'll be better equipped to make Him known. So here's our first kind of stop this morning. Those committed to making Jesus known need to know the Word. We need to know the Word. You want to become a better disciple maker? Just know His Word. Study His Word. Just spend time reading it. If you have questions, write them down. Find somebody who can help you answer those questions. Just do it. Just stay in the Word. Read the Word. Read it. Read it. Read it. Consume it. Consume it like your life depends on it. You keep reading in verse 26. I want us to see this very quickly. This is like the climax of his sermon. Verse 26, he says, brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem, their rulers, because they did not recognize him. Who is him there? Jesus. Because they did not recognize Jesus nor understand the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. That's Jesus. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death. Now check what Paul's saying here. He's saying Jesus never sinned. They could not find in him any guilt worthy of death. You keep reading. Although they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. So there's part of the gospel. Jesus never sinned, yet Jesus was executed on a cross. You keep reading. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. So Jesus died on the cross and he was buried. Verse 30, but God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore he says also in another Psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. In other words, David died, he was buried, and his body decayed. Jesus died, was buried, and God raised him up from the dead to never see corruption, to never die again. So Jesus is the one that the Old Testament prophets promised. Verse 38, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, which man? Jesus. Through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. That's good news. So what's Paul preaching? Paul's preaching that Jesus is the one that the Old Testament points to. Paul is preaching that Jesus lived a sinless life. Paul's preaching that he died for sinners. And Paul's preaching that we can trust him and have forgiveness of sins in him, not because he's dead, but because he's alive. And if you're here and you're not a Christian today, or you're not sure if you're a Christian today, that's why we point you to Jesus. One, because he lived a sinless life. Two, because he died for your sins. And three, he's alive. He's alive. You can trust him. You see all these places in your Bible that are like offset in quotation marks? That's because they're from the Old Testament. He's quoting the Old Testament to point to Jesus. So I'm going to say this one more time. Those committed to making Jesus known need to know what? The Word. You want your friends and your family, your coworkers, the people in your life to know Jesus? Saturate yourself with the Word. So you got that? Those committed to making Jesus known need to know the Word. All right, let's back up to verse 13. So that's our first stop. That's what we need to know. Now we're going to move into four expectations that we need to have as people who are committed to making Jesus known. We're going to move through these a little bit quicker than what we just did. Verse 13 and 14. So we're going to back up before Paul started preaching. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos, that's the island of Cyprus, and came to Perga in Pamphylia. So they, if you're looking at a map, Cyprus is down here. They get in a boat. They set sail across a pretty, at times, dangerous Mediterranean Sea. And they land at Pamphylia, Perga in Pamphylia. And it says that John Mark left them. The three of them were in this boat. They went to Pamphylia. Barnabas, Paul, and John Mark. They get there, and John Mark's like, peace, I'm out. I'm going home. And we see that from there, Paul and Barnabas, they went on from Perga and came to Antioch and Pisidia. Now, this is kind of like Cairo, Georgia, Cairo, Egypt. Or Cairo, Egypt, right? Excuse me. We say it right. So it's just two different Antiochs. This is not the Antioch where they were sent from. This is a different one. This is further north in the area of Galatia. So they've traveled across a dangerous sea through dangerous mountains into a city that's 3,500 feet above sea level. Not an easy trip. Perhaps that's why John Mark said, see ya. We really don't know why John Mark peaced out. We don't know why. All we know that is that he deserted them for one reason or another. Maybe he didn't feel well. Maybe he decided it wasn't worth it. Maybe he just wasn't up for the journey through the mountains where there was a bunch of bandits known to be. Maybe he decided that Paul and Barnabas were crazy for going through all that they were going through to make the gospel known. What we know is he deserted them. We know he deserted them because in chapter 15, we see Barnabas and Paul come to a head over whether or not John Mark could join them once again. Paul said no, Barnabas said yes, and they split up. And Barnabas took John Mark, and they went a different direction to make Jesus known than Paul went. First expectation for those who are committed to making Jesus known, we need to expect deserters. We need to expect that those that are standing beside us, that when we say, hey, I'm ready to make Jesus known in my life, wherever I go, my job, my school, my family, my friends, my neighborhood, that whoever says that with us, at some point in the future, some of them may very well, including us, may fall to the wayside. May not think it worth it anymore to go to the trouble of making Jesus known. So teenagers, just like to use one group in here. Teenagers, like you think through your friends that are going, I'm crazy about Jesus right now. I want others to know him. I don't care what it costs me. Just get ready. Because things will tighten up in the days ahead. And for some of you in that group, it may not be worth it anymore. And there may be less of you ready to make Jesus known in the days ahead than there are today. And I don't say that to discourage you. I don't say that to point fingers at certain people, like who do I think will desert us in the days ahead. I say that to say this. John Mark didn't see it coming. He didn't see the temptation to go home coming. But it hit him, and he gave in, and he went home. So I say that to warn our own hearts. Christian, know that today, if you're committed to making Jesus known, there's going to be a day that comes when a temptation will hit you where you ask the question, is it worth it to keep trying to make him known? And you'll be faced with the decision of whether or not to keep pressing forward to make Jesus known or not. Or just live quietly and easily on your own. I also say that to say this. We fast forward in John Mark's story. Something pretty cool happens. He goes back to work. There's a lot of grace there. Paul didn't have much grace for John Mark. Not in chapter 15, but eventually in one of Paul's letters in the New Testament, we see Paul say, send John Mark to me. He's useful. Bring him on. Because for whatever reason, John Mark had matured in his walk with Jesus. So maybe you've already come to the point in your life where you've decided it wasn't worth it. Like, I'll do the church thing with my family, but it's really not worth it for me to go to much trouble for Jesus outside of that. And I just want to say to you, like, it's not too late. There's grace and forgiveness more than you could ever imagine for you to jump back in the mission of making Jesus known, just like John Mark did. For those of us who haven't given up yet, we just need to recognize that temptation lies before us and know it's coming and hold to one another even more tightly because of that. So, expectation one, those committed to making Jesus known should expect deserters, maybe even ourselves. And we fast forward after Paul preaches, and we get to verse 44. Let's back up to verse 42. Let's see what happens after Paul preaches. Verse 42, it says, as they went out, so they're leaving the synagogue, the place where Paul preached. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, that's the next week, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Like, what if you committed to making Jesus known with your life and people responded that way? Like, they were just flocking to you going, please tell me about Jesus. What's different about you and your relationship with Jesus? What if, right? That's what's happening with Paul and Barnabas here. Flocking to them. But we keep reading verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. So, two things happened after Paul preached the gospel. One was many people said, tell us more. We want to know more about Jesus. We want to trust Jesus. Praise God. But another thing that happened was opposition. Some people were jealous of the attention that Paul and Barnabas were getting. Some people preached contradictions to what Paul and Barnabas were saying about Jesus and stirred up crowds against Paul and Barnabas. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because we've seen it so often through the book of Acts, but a second expectation we need to have as those committed to making Jesus known is we need to expect opposition. It's like, how hard will it be if we were to get in a canoe and paddle upstream? We would fully expect it to be hard, right? We would fully expect that the water is flowing against us and that will make our job harder. We fully expect that. What do we expect when we go to a gym and pick up a weight? That there will be resistance, that it will be hard. And so when we commit to making Jesus known, we fully expect there to be opposition. Now, like, we have a card in our back pocket, the Holy Spirit, that will equip us and power us to overcome the opposition, as we saw last week. But we just need to know it's coming, as we've said over and over again throughout the book of Acts. You see that? Now, let's move on to verse 47. Let's keep reading. It says, for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So this is Paul using Scripture to tell the Jews, look, this message is for you, but you're rejecting it, so we're going to keep taking it, and we're going to take it to other people, to other nations. Because that's what God said he was going to do. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles, the nations, heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, as many were appointed to eternal life. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. So here's the deal. Paul preaches. Some are really excited, want to hear about it. He preaches what? He preaches Jesus' life, death, and resurrection from the whole Bible. He preaches everyone who believes in Jesus will be saved, will be forgiven of their sins. Some are excited, want to hear more. Others oppose him, make it really hard. And what does God do? God just keeps on working. It says in verse 48 and 49, and as many were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. If we ask this question about what's going on in Acts 13, like, who's doing all this? Who brought all of this about? And the answer becomes very clear when we read this whole chapter. God's doing it. You look at verse 17, it was God that Paul was talking about. He chose the people of Israel to bring about the Savior. In verse 19, he gave them their land. Verse 21, God gave them Saul, the king Saul. Verse 30, God raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 48, who's saving these people? God is. They believed. He saved them. So what else can we expect as people who are committed to making Jesus known? You can put all your money on it. You can put all your friends' money on it. You can expect God to work. Understand something. God has been working out his salvation throughout history as long as history has been. And so when we commit ourselves to making Jesus known, what we're doing is we're just getting on board with what God is already doing. And when we share the gospel with others and share the truth about Jesus with others, we're just coming on board with what Jesus is already doing. And so when we come on board with what Jesus is already doing, with what God has always been doing, we can fully expect God to work, even when there's opposition. Anybody ever been discouraged in their walk with the Lord, waiting for people to come to faith? Waiting for people to join you at church? Yeah. Just keep on plodding. Because if you're committed to making Jesus known in your life, you can 100% expect to see God work. So if you're sitting there in the pew today and you're just going, man, like, I'm fully on board with doing what Paul did, making Jesus known, but I am discouraged. Christian, just keep plodding. Keep going. And just know that God will indeed work. He will. You can expect on it. And finally, look at the last couple of verses here. Verse 50, we'll read on down to 52. It says, but the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city. You guys get what that means, right? They gathered up all the people with money and power against Paul and Barnabas, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. That doesn't mean, like, hey, will you guys leave? You guys are kind of getting on their nerves. There's most likely, when we read through Paul's letters about this first missionary journey, most likely violence involved with this driving out of the district. Paul and Barnabas, like, got up and got out so that they could keep preaching, because if they had stayed, they probably wouldn't have continued to live. Verse 51, but they shook the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples, before we read 52, do you see what just happened? Paul and Barnabas went into a city. They preached Jesus. Some liked it, came to faith. Others hated them enough, incited all the power and money they could gather up in Antioch against them, and drove them out of the city. And verse 52 tells us what? The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Christian, let me tell you something that the Word tells us over and over and over again, but we see it here in verse 52. If you're committed to making Jesus known in your life and trusting Him and following Him and leading others to Him, do you know what you can expect in spite of the trials, in spite of the opposition, in spite of the hardest days? Do you know what you can expect? Joy. Christian, some of you are on the edge of taking the next step in serving your Lord, making a larger commitment to Him and His church, stepping into a role of leadership. Or maybe just simply being a brighter light at work, a brighter light at school. And some of you think about it, and you wrestle with Jesus, and you think through whether it's worth it or not. Is it worth it for me to commit more time, more resources? Is it worth it for me to risk my reputation? To risk the things I would risk if I stepped into a bigger leadership role in my church? To make Jesus known. And I just want to say 100% yes. Because one of the things you can expect Jesus to give you as you follow Him to make Him known is joy. How many people know that joy? Man, it's good, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? Some of you don't know it, but you could know it. You could take the next step and follow your Lord, and you could know it. You could know it. Some of you here today just need to know Jesus. You know about Him, but you haven't surrendered to Him today, and you need to do that today. Just know the invitation is always open. It's open now. It's open as we sing. You can come forward if you want to make that public. But some of you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Some of you need to take the next step in following Jesus. You're saved. You know Him. But you haven't really committed to making Him known yet. And I just want you to see it's worth it. Whatever it'll cost you is worth it. And you need to take that next step. Whatever that may be. However the Holy Spirit's leading you to do that in your life. You need to take that next step. Some of you have backed off in the days past, months, maybe even years. You just took the foot off gas. Like John Mark. And you're like, look, it's just too much. It's too much trouble. It's too much risk. I'm just going to live my life. I'll do the church thing, but I'm just going to live my life outside of that. And you need to return to the mission like John Mark and find that joy once again. However the Holy Spirit's convicting you, leading you, encouraging you today, I want to encourage you to respond. Let's pray and sing. Jesus, we love You. We praise Your wonderful name. You're so good. You're so glorious. You are better. You are our bread of life. You're our water that never leaves us thirsty.